That's a nice
And we're
pause.
Back. What'd you say?
No, never mind. You can cut that out. Let's go back to and we're back.
I didn't catch what you said, though.
I was like, that's a nice pause.
All right, here we go.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Hi, I'm Ginger McClish from St. Louis, Missouri, medical oncology hematology consultants, and you are listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I am David Sims of Security First IT and HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David. I hope you're using the correct microphone today.
I know. So if you listened to last week's episode, you'll notice that my
Well, it's two weeks ago. We're 2 weeks out.
Oh, 2 weeks ago. Then, yeah, it was awful. I realized that I was having a technical difficulty thing about halfway through the podcast, and Donna realized it because she's like, I don't know what happened, but I could tell you were distracted. I was like, because I spent the last half of the podcast trying to do tech support during the podcast.
Because he knew he couldn't tell me we had to start over, because that ain't happening, brother. So like, he sounded like crap, but I still sounded good.
I was like, why is this thing not working right? And I'm messing with it and changing all this stuff. And, you know, I finally figured it out. You know, it took me about 5 or 10 minutes. I figured out what was going on, but I couldn't change it because it would have messed up everything. Oh, well, so, the show must go on.
That's right. So, that's right.
It did. So. Sorry about the poor quality of sound. I hate listening to things that have poor sound quality.
Yeah. That's on the 650 episode. 650.
Mm-hmm.
You can hear what it sounds like when you select the wrong microphone. David has way too many microphones.
Yeah, that is definitely a problem. So, yeah.
You know, but I did that once like 2 years ago. So we're good.
Mm-hmm. It can happen.
That's back when we were learning.
The sad thing about it was my software was showing the correct microphone, but it was using the wrong one. So that was what was, yeah, it was what was throwing me off. But anyway, so the moral of the story is don't always believe what you see.
The moral of the story is check your settings before you start.
Check yourself.
All right.
So
let's get into it. Oh, look at us. We're on the same page. That's going to be scary.
Yeah, so today we're going to, and let me make sure I pronounce this correctly, because I am from the South. I have to be careful, enunciate this properly. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about insider breaches.
Yes, that's a D, not an H.
If I say that fast, it could sound bad. So
yeah, you just remember somebody's yelling, stay out of my breeches right back at you. So, and for those of you who need a minute, let's pause. Okay, hopefully you got it. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's somebody like right the ID10T error where you have to have people write it down. Yeah.
I always love that because their facial expression when they get it is like, oh, I cannot believe you just told me that.
I know, right. All right, so what is the big news? The big news is... Boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
Last one for 2019. Yes, there will be, we hope, two.
I thought you were going to say there will be pain.
There will be pain. Watch that movie. What is it? Captain Lieutenant Payne? Or I don't remember. Anyway. But November 5th, 6th, and 7th. Please note, it is a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Yep.
You can go to... the website, the HIPAABootcamp.com, or at helpmewithhipaa.com/HBC if you just want to go to the registration form. I did that one, David. You didn't know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. If you don't need any info, you just say, sign me up. I don't want to look for a button to click on. There you go.
Sign me up.
helpmewithhipaa.com/HBC. Sign me up. The early bird pricing is there until October 5th. Fourth, somewhere in there. If you're an alumni and you would like to come back, let us know. We've got some specials just for you.
Mm-hmm.
Bring it. And we're looking forward to it. We already got people signing up. We hadn't even gotten it out yet, and I sent an email to a listener in Spokane, Washington. Spokane. I don't know which way you say it. Spokane? Spokane? Somebody's going to have to hook a sister up, because obviously I'm losing my mind. Well, what was there in the first place? So, but if you are interested, you want more information, let us know. And we will be excited to see you there. And we're working out our Friday afternoon surprise. We think that's all but approved at this time. Fingers crossed, nothing goes wrong, because I was just explaining to David how I am one of those people that things just fall off the planet when I'm around.
You keep doing this, but it's the Thursday surprise.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crap. I'm in so much trouble.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's only how many times have we done this?
I know. Yeah, you got somebody listening going, wait a minute, I thought it was Tuesday through Thursday. What's this Friday thing?
Yeah. It's a Thursday surprise.
Yeah. Trust me, if you show up on Friday, it will be a surprise.
All right. So, yes. 5th, 6th, 7th. Sign up. Come join us. There's a great deal out there. It's $1,700-something, $1,800 if you sign up for the early bird right now. We have made some changes just to the way we manage things to reduce pricing. So, give it a shot. See you soon.
Yep. And we do have CEUs in the works.
Yep. We have the pre-approval for the CCB CEUs, the Healthcare Compliance Association Compliance Certification Board, which they approved the last two, and we haven't really changed anything on our application other than dates. So we're expecting it. We've gotten the pre-approval. And so that means you get, like, I think it's like 25 CEUs.
Nice.
And even if you're not doing CCB CEUs, because it's an approved organization, it will probably be recognizable by many others.
Cool.
So let's get rocking and rolling.
All right. Well, before we do that, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Does your business work with medical practices? As a medical practice business associate, do you realize that if you have access to patient information, you have to follow the same HIPAA rules as your client? Call Cardin today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your privacy and security practices to help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardinHQ.com to learn more.
Two-thirds of small businesses that experience a cybersecurity breach end up closing their doors within 6 months. Cybercriminals are targeting your practice and coming after your most sensitive data. Visit us online and schedule a time to talk about what you can do to protect yourself, your patients, and your practice. Our website is securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com.
And we're back. So let's get into Donna's, wait a minute. All right, let's talk about insider breaches. You like the way I called that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. I misspoke.
I know. Look, every time we talk about that, I have to do it. So it's it's just one of those things.
I know. It's been that way for all these years. You know, hard to believe that we've been at this now over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every Friday, we're here for you.
Well, when I don't do it, you always stop and go ahead, get it out.
I know. Well, because I you never know when it's going to happen. So as I'm getting ready for this week's show and I'm trying to come up with what we're going to talk about, and you know how helpful David is. So
I am your inspiration and the meaning in your life.
Moving on. So, information, and I was trying to decide, and, you know, yesterday morning, I, you know, was reading the article, you know, the Capital One data breach, which is really an Amazon data breach, an Amazon AWS, which I think is interesting. I've gotten an alert from Amazon AWS. We have a few little things on a public thing out there that we serve out of there. And they're letting us know we need to secure things if we don't intend it to be public. But that was an insider issue. And it turns out that this insider not only invaded the data of the Capital One network and infiltrated and pulled data and did all kinds of things, but there are a total of 30 companies that are involved in this. 30.
Mm-hmm.
That's what an insider with access can do. And that's a technical person with access. That's what they can do. That's why IT vendors need to train their people really, really well, monitor them well, and make sure that you understand you are indeed a business associate.
Yes.
Now that we've offered that public service message. So I was looking at that, and OCR sends out their summer 2019 cybersecurity newsletter. Guess what it's about? Insider breaches.
I'm seeing a pattern and a trend.
I know. I'm reading about insider breaches. Then I get a newsletter about dealing with insider breaches. And then I get an email from our friend Rob Pruder. Rob, shout out to Rob with Sphere. And he was sending out a newsletter about recently released report, Insider Data Breach Survey 2019 Research, that was commissioned by Egress, and they had Opinion Matters do theirs. So, you know, I always knew Rob and I had a special connection. But that one was weird, because it's like, okay, that means I definitely need to do this. It's spot on. Mm-hmm. Rob, thank you. But, you know, when I was reading the other two, I was thinking about, you know, how important a tool like Sphere is, you know, and I was happy to see that he reminded me that.
That's his job. Let me remind you how good I am. Yeah.
So, you know, I look at all this information and there's certain things, you know, that rise to the top. But, you know, it's all about looking at insider issues and what is the impact. Well, I think Amazon's very keenly aware of the impact right now.
Yeah, I would hope so.
And I think a very important thing that everybody knows is that if you have a major insider breach, that's nothing. Number one problem, reputational damage right there. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't matter what else happens, reputational damage. Which is why I don't like calling it the Capital One breach. It's an Amazon breach. So I think we're going to talk about breaches.
All right. I love it.
Insider breaches.
But you do bring up a good point on the Capital One breach, as I do air quotes. Is the same thing that's happening here. So we have an Amazon breach. Capital One's getting all the press. Same thing happens with these insider breaches. It's another person or party that's actually had the breach, but all the fallout happens to the people that are at the end of it.
Yeah, it's people like us that realize that back end, but the general public, the consumer, they don't pay enough attention to it. They got the notice from Capital One. Capital One's who had the breach.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing that in other areas that we've been tracking that are healthcare breaches, like the AMCA breach. And then there was a new one that came out this week that I thought was that there's a couple of articles on when you first sent it to me and it was actually then happening.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I caught wind of it like as it was going on. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was very interesting to watch as it was happening. You share it because you found it, but then we have to discuss the article this morning that it did crack me up. I'm sorry, but you and I are going to laugh at stuff.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I should protect the guilty or innocent, but anyway, it was
public information.
It's public information. So it's a software company and they provide software to dental practices. And so part of what they tout in their marketing is, you know, give your data to us and avoid ransomware and all this kind of stuff because you're backing your data up, you know, to us. And the name of the company is called DDS Safe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, somehow a hacker infiltrated DDS's network or platforms, and now they use that to jump off into the clients that they have and infect them with ransomware. So the irony here is that because you used their product, you got ransomware, instead of because you used their product, you avoided ransomware.
Yeah. I mean, they bill themselves as, you know, the perfect backup so that you can always restore and be up to the minute. And instead, they had no access to anything. And yeah, there's a big reputational problem there. And I think from what I've read, that it involved one of their business associates systems, like, you know, one of the RMMs or something that got hacked in order to cut across here, or maybe it's an internal system, but it's a similar scenario. And wow.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah,
and it's, wow. Talk about reputational damage.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if this company can survive something like that, because when you've got so many other companies that you're connected to, and then they all now have ransomware attacks, which may or may not be reportable breaches, and you've got to deal with all that. And it's going to be super expensive. Oh yeah.
Well, and they say not all of their clients were hit, which says to me they figured it out and stopped the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Or they all would have been hit. Good thing it didn't hit over the weekend. But the article that this morning was, you know, it had a little drawing of a tooth with cuts and band-aids and crutches and and DDS Safe, you know, has a problem. But then the headline was under ironic news for the day, or in ironic news for today, the ransomware backup company, Protection Backup, has been hit with ransomware. So that's why, you know, we say over and over, I will never say never. I will never say we're not going to get hit. I will never. It's just no.
Yeah.
But insider issues somewhere in there, you know, there are.
Yeah.
Somewhere. And it's everywhere.
You know, it's certainly a warning. And some people are going to listen to that and they're going to say, well, that's why we shouldn't put our stuff in the cloud. And, you know, there's always arguments either way. But the point of it is you still have to be aware of what your risks are. Putting things in the cloud, it can be good. So in some cases, I know clients that have such a terrible IT hygiene that being in the cloud is going to always be better, even with the risk.
Oh, yeah. If you're not going to double down on protecting everything, the servers and keeping them up to date, you just need to go to the cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah. But needless to say, all of that stuff piled in together, when you get the OCR newsletter, you know, it's that particular newsletter, and we have a link to it and everything if you're not on their mailing list, but you should be. Their footnote on the newsletter says that this newsletter is focused on malicious threats from insiders, but unintentional and inadvertent actions by insiders also introduce cybersecurity threats. You know, so, yeah, we're not saying that everything is malicious. We're just saying insiders have to do with almost every one of these breaches.
Yeah. And you know? And we'll uncover here in a little bit that oftentimes things are malicious, but people just don't see it that way.
I know, right? There's a difference of opinion. We will choose not to. We'll agree not to agree. We'll agree to disagree.
Yeah.
So, but the newsletter talked about, you know, the real problem being that, you know, there. It makes me assume that OCR has seen a rash of things happening whenever they do a newsletter.
Yeah, because then you'll see within the next month or so, you'll see something hit, and you're like, oh, now I know why they talk about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, here we are, and when this comes out, we'll be in September, and there's only been two resolution agreements this year. They set a record last year, and there's only been two this year. So I'm looking for a flurry of activity, and there's some, you know, that I know are close to being closed out that may not make it this year, but I'm watching. I know there's several coming because there's just so many that have been going on for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
But you got to assume that's happening. And their point was, you know, you can be malicious. You can steal data, just flat out take it, share it with the wrong people on purpose, mm-hmm. or destroy it. Now, all of these are like they intended to steal it, share it, or destroy it. And that happens. And whenever, you know, you have to worry about these things, you purposely gave them the ability to do it. That or they tricked one of your staff who knows not to let them log in, but did it anyway, which is what we'll get to. Mm-hmm. But they point out how you need to keep an eye on this. You know, so you got to have your right eye on this and your left eye on the outsiders. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But guess what they said you should do? What do they suggest you do? They say, oh, these are hard to track. So what you should do are these things. Pretty much follow HIPAA security rule.
But I don't know. I don't know what to do.
I know. So they point out, do a security risk analysis. You have to know where your data is and where it should be going to know when there's an anomaly.
Yeah.
When
It always shocks me when people start talking about protecting things and data and business and blah, blah, blah. And then when you go, well, where's the stuff you're trying to protect? Well, I don't really know.
Or they're absolutely adamant, we don't have any here. It's all in the cloud.
Oh, yeah. Well, I usually hear, you know, that we everything is on this one server or this one computer. And we do a quick assessment using some tools and like, no, you got stuff everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is that, you know, when you know that the EHR practice management, that's where, you know, the gold mine is. You know, Severina says we should treat it each record like a bar of gold. So, okay, it makes sense. I like that concept. It's a visual everybody can imagine holding a bar of gold and they get all excited about it. Mm-hmm. But when you don't know where all your gold is and it's just scattered about, sitting on people's desks, just randomly around, how can you protect it? Not very well. You know, nope. Some throw that stuff in a purse.
It's like herding cats.
So if you don't know where it is, you can't protect it. And when I say, show me your security risk analysis, yeah, our IT team did it. Okay, well, where's the information about the EHR? Well, they don't support the EHR. They didn't do it. Okay. So your security risk analysis you have is about the stuff that your IT team supports, but not about the stuff they don't support, and they don't support everything. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, like your medical devices and your EHR, your practice management system, your teleworkers and all this kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, it doesn't include that. That's why we say it's not what you think it is. You know?
Yeah, that's why we always see the needs to complete a thorough and complete risk analysis.
That's right.
On these settlements.
Well, my favorite is when I go in and look at somebody's risk analysis and they hand it to me and the first thing it says is you need to do a risk analysis after this.
Or they have a risk analysis and you look at the risk management plan and so you've done these things, right? It says you're going to do them. Well, no.
Yeah, which is the next piece, you know, do a risk management plan that, you know, you build systems, policies, and procedures, you audit, you're finding ways to detect these kinds of insider breaches as soon as possible because they go on for a long time. Then you use access controls to set the minimum necessary required to do the job because if they don't need to be updating data or viewing data, they shouldn't be able to. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the security rule says you have to do system activity review. All right, well, you should be doing that. You know, you should refer to they refer to it as real-time visibility and situational awareness.
Yeah, this is this is one of those things where I don't think many people do.
No. I did like that they pointed out, you know, security is a dynamic process. It's constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be reviewing access requirements when somebody gets promoted or demoted. That's even worse. If they change jobs or change departments. And then they pointed out how important it was to have a termination checklist.
Yep.
This is one of your favorite pet peeves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can't stand going into an environment and, you know, how many employees do you have? Well, we've got 20 employees. Well, then why do you have 50 people on your server?
that have active user profiles.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, you go in and worse yet, you find out that they don't have a server environment. They're smaller or whatever. And you got all these accounts on the machine that have administrative access because, you know, that's how you set something up when you just want it to work.
Mm-hmm. And the shared C drive.
Yeah. And the whole entire C drive is shared out and RDP is open. And I mean, just everything is slat wide open because you know what? That's how things are easy, right? You just that's open right. the doors and windows and let everything come in and out.
Ah, just leave the keys in the car.
Yeah.
And the door is unlocked.
Yeah. Because
it's, don't lock your house. That's so much easier.
Oh, it is. Because I, you know, when I walk to my car, I want to be able to just get in it and go. I don't want to have to unlock the door and put the key in the ignition because it's just not. It's not convenient.
I know. Yeah. But boy, you know, I know you were raised like I was. You go to move a car that's in, you know, your cousin's car, and it's like, why did you take the keys out?
Yeah.
You think you're in the city?
Well, you know, nowadays, I'm assuming how they got around some of the people leaving their cars unlocked is, you know, now you just walk up to the door as long as you have your key in your pocket or the key fob, you just touch the doorknob and it unlocks.
Yeah.
So, like which, those. You know what? They have that for computers as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You just enter a little 4-digit code and now they're getting the ones where you tap with the fingerprint. And,
yeah. Or you don't even have to do that. You can even set it to, you just walk up to it and it, hey.
With the Bluetooth thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of those things, but those would then, of course, be something you did in risk management planning, right?
Right.
I know, right? So then you take that, and I'm reading the report that Rob sent me, and it's some really, you know, interesting research, and I'm sure that we're going to be using this in presentations and discussions more because it shows a very serious disconnect. Because you know, the IT staff knows what they're supposed to correct and they know all of the things they're supposed to be doing and they put the things in place. So they say, you know, this is what we think is happening, that we think that people are violating security policy and inappropriately using data all the time.
Yeah.
And we know it happens.
I expected to see a disconnect between what IT thinks and feels and then what the average user thinks and feels.
But not this big.
I don't know that even shocked me.
Really?
No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you know what's going on. And so you fear it because you see it every day. It, mm-hmm. You know, it's like I tell people, they'll say, well, we don't have that many breaches happening or cybersecurity incidents, you know, maybe once a month or something. Like, no, dude, there's like a million a day because I see them every day. Every day I'm reading about them. Mm-hmm. So, you know that it's just a matter of time before it happens to you. It's like I've got a driver's license and I drive a car. And yes, I'm careful, but at some point, the longer I drive, the more likely it is that I'm going to have an accident. Either somebody's going to hit me or I'm going to hit something else.
It's called statistics.
Right. And so it's the same way on the information superhighway.
Yeah.
But what got me was how employees view what they're doing is just what shocked me because they're saying, most of them are saying, we don't take data from our employers. We absolutely don't do it. But then when you look at the statistics there, then they turn around and say, well, we do do it, but we feel justified in doing it.
Exactly. You know, and I thought a lot of things, the generational divide about data ownership was interesting.
Yeah.
That the 16 to 24 year olds think that the organization doesn't really own the data. It's mm-hmm. just there for the taking. And, you know, that they just don't get it, that that is a company resource, which is another reason we reiterate that in training, that information is a valuable resource that I own. But no, 33% said that, you know, they were less likely to agree that the organization is the exclusive owner. Only 33% thought that. The rest of them are kind of like, yeah. But when you get to over 65, which, you know, I'm not there yet, but, you know, closer to our age group, most people understand that the company owns the data. And, you know, it made some points very obvious, but I loved exactly what you're talking about their reasoning. You know, first of all, I think I have the right to it, but the number one reason was you didn't give me the tools I needed to do it securely, so I did it my way.
Yep, and we see that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me to email this document to somebody or send it to them somehow, but they didn't provide me a way to do it. Look, that's not my problem.
I know. I'm just trying to get my job done. Yeah. And I want this off my to-do list. That's the number one thing. I don't care if it gets off securely. I just want it off.
Yeah. Yep. And then, you know, there's quite a bit of them who, like you said, they felt like the information belonged to them, I guess because maybe they created the document or whatever, but, you know, hey, I worked on this. It's mine. It doesn't belong to the company.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You know, people take it to their new job.
Yeah.
I can use this there and it'll make me look good.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, though, I have seen some higher ups do that, getting in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Still in healthcare information.
Here at Emory. Mm-hmm. You know, Emory University Medical Center, that happened.
But I will have to say, though, because this chart is broken down into people from the U.S. and then people from the U.K., if you have anybody from the U.K. that you've hired, you need to keep a closer eye on them.
Yeah, no. Because they kind of think it's way better to just take it with you when you, much higher number.
Yeah, we won't have to worry about getting permission. Just get forgiveness.
Yeah.
Just take it. They won't know.
And then, of course, you have the ones that when you add them all together, I guess they would be a pretty big one too, is you're upset with the organization and then the, you know, very clear other and prefer not to say.
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah. I'm not going to incriminate myself.
Yeah. And those three added together come in second to you didn't give me the tools, so I did it insecurely, which is why we go on and on about people are like, well, we'll just tell them not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
No, it doesn't work. If they're doing it, they're going to keep doing it until you give them a secure, convenient way, either make that secure and convenient or literally cut off their ability to do it and give them another way to do it.
Yeah.
It's clear. I mean, I've heard people say, well, you can't text. You can't text. You're not allowed to text. Well, what other way can they do it? Well, we don't have another way. You can use email. That's not fast enough. And until you give them an alternative, they're going to continue to text.
Mm-hmm.
That's the bottom line. You know, like the CISO at Secure World who said, you know, had repeatedly said, can we just shut down any access to Dropbox because we've said don't use it? And they're like, yeah, but there might be times where, you know, we need to access it to get things from people so we can't shut it down. Mm-hmm. And then gets a call from Dropbox saying, you have so many individuals in your organization that have signed up for accounts, we thought it'd be a better deal if you got a company one.
I know. It's crazy. And you know, the smaller organizations, one of the things that I often see is they're trying to use as many free tools as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's one, you know, like the Dropbox thing. He's like, hey, if everybody just signs up using their own thing, we don't have to pay for it. We just use a little free account.
Yeah. And then we can share it that way.
I know. And it's, you know, I had a good conversation recently with a new client that free doesn't mean free. Free just means that you are moving the cost to something else.
Right. Yes.
But the next chart I think is telling as well, which is when they started asking these employees to explain why they made an accidental improper disclosure. And let me throw some more air quotes here, accidentally sharing company data. dude, you didn't accidentally do it.
Well, you know, we always say most of the time you're going to have these things when it's a Friday before a holiday, which is, you know, what today is. Mm-hmm. And end of the day, I need to run. My deadline's here and I'm not ready. I just was such. All of those are what we usually hear. And sure enough, that's what played out.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, if you want to know what your employees are going to say when they accidentally screw up and send something or share something they shouldn't have, mm-hmm. then here you go. You know, here's your arguments that you're going to have to try to defend against. And the biggest one, like you said, was I was in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a hurry.
And the thing is that they said, you know, check all that apply.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you could have multiple ones of these, which says, you know, the ones that get a lot of them, generally, there's two pieces involved. And I was rushing. 48% of the people said that was one of their reasons. So almost mm-hmm. half the people checked that as a reason.
Yep.
And then they could have, in the same instance, said I was working in a high-pressure, stressful environment, which is why I was rushing. So they would include that.
Yeah, I was tired. The second highest one.
Yeah. I was tired is the next one.
I was tired.
You know, you get exhausted. They a new parent. Hello, you know how that mm-hmm. was.
Yeah, I honestly think 29%, I mean, that's the third highest one is I was tired.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make me wonder, like, are you coming to work tired or is it the end of the day tired? Is it I ate too much at lunch tired? I mean, I don't know.
Well, there's tons of articles, though, about particularly here in the U.S., we don't get enough sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every time you turn around, somebody's trying to encourage us to sleep.
Maybe that's why some of these companies now have these nap pods. You go take a nap.
They do in a lot of other countries, you know, and in a lot of other countries, you have required vacation. You just take vacation because mm-hmm. you have to do it. And, you know, here it's like, what do you mean you're going on vacation? You can keep stacking it up. I know you've got a year backed up in vacation time.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually tried. That's why you have it, you know.
We tried something very different in our company. We started, I guess, at the beginning of 2018. We got rid of earning pay time off and vacations and sick days. We just got rid of the whole thing. Now it's just, if you need it, then just apply for it.
Yeah.
Put in for it. And as long as we don't have something going on, then you're going to take the time off.
And that's the way we do it too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, more and more folks are getting to that point and, you know, and you deal with it on a bi-individual basis then, but you got to be able to handle it properly and not have people be ridiculous, which in small companies is good to do.
Yeah.
But the bottom line here is tired. So when you look around, and this is one of the things I've always said, you know, and it gets back to situational awareness, is if you have a staff member that's going through a really hard divorce, or they've had major surgery, or they have a very ill family member, mm-hmm. or any of those things, that's distracting them, period.
Yeah.
They're going to be tired. They're going to be in a hurry when they've got to go to a doctor's appointment or an attorney's appointment, or they have to get something done with, you know, I've got to run the kids somewhere because no one's here to help anymore. There's a long list of things that will bring them down. So you don't just say, okay, don't do your job.
Yeah.
But you say, okay, I understand you're under these pressures, and we know these are the reasons that, you know, people get into these powder kegs that blow up into a data breach.
Yeah, well, the biggest ones, I mean, we just went over the top three, you know, they're rushing around, they're in a high-pressure environment, and they're tired. These are all things that you can notice about somebody if you just pay attention to your staff.
Mm-hmm. And that's being aware of what's going on is how you notice these things. Because just as much as they could accidentally do things, this would be the same scenario where they might fall for things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they might agree to sell things. They might become angry at the company for not supporting them or, you know, any number of things and then become malicious.
Yeah. I mean, get to know them in their environment if you can, not just in work, but home. I mean, if I've got a technician and he's got family problems, then it's going to show up at the office. If he's got, you know, money problems. Now, fortunately, we don't handle money. Everything is electronic. But if we were handling money and he was having money problems, I would need to know that. Because,
well, you still do, because now they could sell the data.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they can certainly do that.
Yeah. Hello. Got access. You can solve all your money problems. Bring it here, brother.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And all the data they have access to, and they just start pilfering off a little at a time and covering their tracks. So you do have to worry about this. And you can't train around that. You know, what you have to train is your supervisors and your team as a whole to be supportive. And that gets back to, it's a culture of it. It just becomes a built-in thing that everybody worries about what could impact security and privacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's day-to-day. And frankly,
if your employees feel like the organization cares about them, they're less likely to do these things anyway.
Well, and here, that brings us to the fourth highest thing was, I didn't have adequate training on my company's information security policies, which gets back to that disconnect where they think that they haven't done anything wrong. Right. There are so many of them that say, yeah, you know, it's like when I hear these stories about, you know, it's the one-off breaches that happen this way. It's like, yes, I know the policy said not to do that, but everybody's got a big old but right there. And then they justify why it was okay for them to violate the policy. And that's when you have to come back and reiterate over and over and over, there will be no acceptable reason for you to violate this policy. If you feel that you need to violate this policy, then it must be a patient care authorization thing, and you need to get someone else's opinion before you do it.
Yep. I do find it funny, though, when you look at the entire pie chart, only one thing has to do with technology, really, and that's 19% says this incident happened because I was using a mobile device.
Well, yeah, and the mobile device didn't have a way for me to do it securely.
Yeah.
And then that's the next one under that is, we didn't have adequate security systems in place to prevent this from happening. You didn't you didn't stop me from doing it.
Yeah.
It's your fault. Yeah.
You asked me to send you the x-ray in a text message, and I did.
I didn't try to tell you no. But that also has a lot to do with leadership. So it's all around this, and it's very, very clear that the employees feel they're not doing anything wrong. They're just getting their job done. And that if you don't want me to do this, then you're going to keep me from doing it or give me a way to do it securely.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we think? Well, you know, there's my good friend, Steven. He told me this week that he elects usually to rely on his ostrich syndrome. And I was asking him, he's got the Labor Day trip planned to the beach and, you know, Dorian's bearing down. I'm just going to be out there with my head in the sand. I was like, okay, I'll watch for that up in the air on the Weather Channel.
Just remember, when you have your head in the sand, what's sticking out?
Yeah, and getting packed with sand.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's all kinds of things that are monitoring users on the network, and tech people are all, you know, but who's actually looking at the, you know, where the pot of gold is? You know, that's where everything is. If that's where all your gold is stored, all your bars of gold are stored, but nobody's looking at what's happening there. They're just looking at, can you get into the room where the gold is stored? And once you're in, you can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where it drives me crazy to hear the business owners or the practice managers say things like, well, we don't have any problems. Everything's working fine.
That means you're not looking.
Yeah. But just because you're able to print and you can get on the internet and all this kind of stuff doesn't mean you don't have massive problems.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's like, you know, the certified EHR, EMR systems, they had to generate an access log that showed you what was happening. And that was required. But that was all that was required, is to generate the log and let you look at it. So you don't know that you have a problem. The log just lets you look at it after it's happened, which, you know, with the weather thing going on, you know, back in the time where the only way that you knew what hit you was you looked after the door after the storm was passed, if there was a door, and you're like, wow, we had a big storm that came off the ocean. Oh, you know, not like today. And so it's that ability to forecast and to see problems before they occur is what allows us to protect life and property. And that's where products like Sphere, which is Rob, and since Rob is participating in us doing this by sending me his conveniently timed research paper from Egress, we'll toss in exactly what that product does, is that it receives those logs, and then it does the monitoring of them. It looks for patterns that seem out of whack, and you teach it things. You know, this is an acceptable thing. This is an acceptable thing. Oh, wait, allow that one time, you know, that kind of stuff. So that it by when you see something and it says, hey, this doesn't look right, you can say, oh, yeah, that I haven't told you that before, but yeah, we're going to let that go. Or, yeah, I know what happened. We're going to ignore this one time. Or, holy crap, you're right. Let me look at that. So, yeah, it isn't real time. You know, it's a day or two. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a lot of these cases where we're hearing now, it starts with the FBI called us, or a reporter called us, and or a lawyer has filed a lawsuit, or OCR called us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this goes on for months at a time. Tools like Sphere allow you to find those things.
Yeah, and a little word of caution. And you know, we've talked before about the disconnect between IT and their clients. This is one that can happen, because if you go to your IT guy, you listen to this episode, you go to him, you go, are you reviewing my logs? He may tell you yes.
Yes.
But you've asked the wrong question, and so you got the wrong answer.
Right. So, and they don't know any better.
Right. So there are different logs. There's lots of different logs. So if you just say, are you reviewing my logs? They may not be reviewing the logs for your EHR and EMR. In fact, they're probably not doing
right. that. And so the question you need to ask is, if they're doing your risk analysis, did you do a risk analysis of the security in my EHR system?
Mm-hmm.
Not the server or my network, but the actual system, so that I know what my options are there and am I doing those things? And are you monitoring the logs of my EHR system?
Right.
My application logs.
Yeah. So if they tell you they're reviewing the logs, then just simply ask, well, give me a list of what logs you are reviewing.
Yeah. So it's clear that at least we know that isn't happening that much.
Mm-mm.
So, and yes, I know there are other applications other than Sphere. We just work with them. And yes, I know there's different ways of doing it. And some of them make you write all these rules, and then you get things called alert fatigue and all of that. But, you know, we'll tell you right up front, Sphere's one of our business partners. We really like their product. We like working with them. And, you know, if you're not going to have something like that installed and running in your environment that you're actually looking at, because doesn't do you any good. It's like having a forecast you never look at.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, you have to do something, and you need to be doing like weekly random audits, or, you know, monthly random audits, not quarterly or once or twice a year. And even then, you know, you've got to figure out what looks weird on your own manually. Mm. And that's not easy to do.
No.
You know, and like they say, whatever, I just saw something where they were like, they could have spent $100,000 to have this system updated and in place, but they didn't want to spend the money on that. They didn't have the money. Instead, they've had a major data breach and they'll spend like $2 million, $3 million.
Mm.
And it's just like buying an insurance policy, you know.
Yeah, well, it goes back to people don't think it'll happen to them.
Yep, it won't happen to me.
Until it does.
And especially people, again, you can tell them over and over. And they can even say, yeah, you trained me on it, but just remember, everybody's got a big old but. So until you teach them there is no but that's acceptable, you know, and that if you think it is, then you need to get somebody else to sign off on it, you know, especially like general workforce, that needs to be the rule. There will be no acceptable but to this without approval from somebody else, period. That's your general training. And then the ones that are allowed to make those decisions, you train them on how to make the decisions. You know, but you don't want every little person, especially if they're not involved in patient care, nah. They should never decide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there might be some times when patient care is involved, but even then you need somebody that understands the implications of what you're doing. And we've talked about it. It's about patient care. But I can tell you this, like we said, the OCR thing and how timely and how you must assume that somewhere something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I met Ray and I was looking at the product and I was like, you know, you're ahead of your time. I'm barely getting them to spend money on actually securing things and training people. So, and they definitely need your solution. However, .. And so just like the data breaches and the ransomware attacks of 2016, which we fortunately had just ramped up this into our going into our second year, we were there trying to get them to listen. And they weren't. And then after that, when all of this went insane, that's when they started listening. And now they're doing those things. And they're in the place now where we were in 2016. So, you know. Let us know if you need help with some of this stuff. That's what we do at Cardin, is help you figure that out. And, you know, even David can help figure things out.
Heck yeah.
All right. So I say that you need to worry about your insider breaches.
Mm-hmm. I would say so as well, because they're aware.
Yeah. And you don't want any of them people involved in your breaches.
No. And it goes back to vetting your vendors. If you are a vendor, vet your vendors.
Yeah. And that's another thing that they point out, and I can't believe I forgot to mention that your third parties who have access, that you have given access, they're one of your insiders.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Amazon.
Yep. Yeah, I think people don't realize how many people have access to their systems, their networks, their data. It's a lot. It's a lot more than they think.
Yeah. Yeah. And their attitude, clearly, we didn't even realize how different it was.
Yeah, I know.
I know you told me, but.
Yep.
All right.
That is our show for today, folks. You can head over to our website if you want to see these show notes and all these cool graphs and charts for today.
And links to everything you need, including the boot camp.
Absolutely. So we expect to see you at the boot camp. If you can't be there, then just send money. Remember to share us out on your favorite social media site, rate our podcasting app. We much appreciate it. And as always, if you have any questions or ideas about the show, send them to Donna just like Rob did. Remember, for Donna and myself, that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.